last time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, November 29th.
Welcome. I had coffee this morning too, so I'm not really sure what was just happening there. Basically, I was trying to put on headphones, which I've done for the past year, and all of a sudden couldn't figure out how to get them on my damn head. So
there you go. It must be the rain outside.
I'm like trying to pull them out. Like whoever had these on last must be like a midget.
Yeah.
And then I was impressed that they were like shrunken that small.
Uh-huh.
And then I figured out, oh, they were flipped all around.
It was probably a porn star or something. That was the last show last night.
No, basically
so
it was my.
Some of them are tiny.
Midgets. Was it a midget porn star?
No, I don't know, but...
Because see, now that I'd watch.
No, but if they're tiny girls, you know, their head is tiny.
Not that tiny, unless it was like the shrunken head, like from Beetlejuice, where they like shrink their head all down. Yeah. But then I realized I was the tard in the situation because I had them on backwards and twisted around, and it was me, not the actual headphones.
Okay.
Which is why I was laughing to myself in the corner for a minute and looked like a crazy person laughing at the wall.
Yeah.
Which I do occasionally.
That's a way to start a morning, dude.
This is, welcome to the world inside my head.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is a lot of weird things.
Are you dealing with the rain well this morning?
You know, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Oh, here's my philosophy on the rain. See, sometimes I don't like the rain, sometimes I do.
Mm.
Which doesn't make any sense.
I think it creates such a nice mood, you know, atmosphere and stuff, you know.
I will say that the rain this week is good because we came out of Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
And then we had, you know, two weird crazy days in between.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the lunar eclipse yesterday. And then it's supposed to, everything should be good smoothly tomorrow.
Mm.
But it was like the effects of everything all week long is releasing and letting go. So with the rain, it's kind of like a washing away.
Oh, okay.
You know?
So it's appropriate.
Yeah.
It's right on time.
That's how I feel. I'm like, it's good. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Wash it away.
I know. I love rain. I mean, it's different, you know? I mean, we get the same day here every day, you know. So rain, I don't mind it. We need some of that.
Yeah. I also feel like it's a cleanliness. Like, people do spring cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
I do winter cleaning.
Really?
<You know? laughs> That's weird, but whatever. It's me. So I'm going through this whole thing. I'm, like, clearing out all this stuff. You know, I'm getting ready to have my big birthday party, too. So I kind of do go through this. And I'm like, I don't need half the things that I have here. Why do I have them?
Yeah.
Let's get rid of them.
Yeah.
So I can make room for more presents.
Exactly.
For my
birthday. You can sell them on Craigslist or something. You know, make
some
money.
Going to give them away, I guess I could do that. See, that takes effort to actually sell them with all the numerous other things that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'd rather just give them away and be done with it. I'm done. Peace out.
Yeah.
But,
well, awesome.
Yeah. So I got this brilliant idea yesterday, which is maybe why I'm so jumbled this morning. This brilliant idea that I wanted to paint some things in my back room.
Mm-hmm.
And I have all these wicker chairs and things that I had gotten or acquired somehow. And I don't like the color of them. Like, I like dark woods.
Mm-hmm.
And, light woods are cool, but this is just like a plain wicker, like plain Jane. It's sitting there staring at me, not, you know, going with the rest of the flow of the furniture. So I went yesterday on a whim and bought spray paint.
Wow.
I just wanted to spray paint it.
Yeah.
So I went and bought it, and you know, I was kind of half-assing it, basically. I didn't feel like going outside to spray paint. I just wanted to do it right now. Right here, right now.
Right.
When I get the idea, I'm like, it's now.
Right.
So, you know, there was no newspapers in our house.
No,
who reads the paper? Who reads?
I can
nobody.
See where this is going.
Nobody reads the paper. Exactly. So then I was like, well, you know what? My floor is tile in this room. It's fine. I'll just spray paint on the tile. Like, I'm pretty good. So I'm spraying away. And then I was like looking at the bottom of it, and I'm like, this is definitely going to go all over the floor. But I'm covered with – I have gloves on, you know, because I don't want to ruin my manicure. And, yeah, and I'm sitting in a t-shirt with nothing else on, so I'm praying that none of the roommates walk in the room, which I doubt they would because no one walks in this back room. But it would be a pretty funny scene of me sitting in just a t-shirt, you know, all like my legs all weird, twisted with the table so it's not touching the floor, trying to spray paint it. It was pretty funny if you get this picture in your head, being graphic here.
It sounds funny.
And then I'm like trying to spray the bottom of it, and then I'm like, oh, fuck it. So I just spray it, and it goes all over the floor, of course, and it's, by the way, it's like Kona brown, so it's like really dark coffee brown all over the white tile. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, well, if I get it up quickly, it'll be fine. So then I'm like, all right, well, there's this weird piece of wood in the back, so I get the wood out, and I'm spraying. And then at this point, I just don't even care, so I'm full out spraying. I just don't even care anymore.
Oh,
I'm like, it's on the floor, it's fine. So I get it done, and it looks great. It looks awesome. And then I'm like, oh, I got to clean up the floor. It sucks. So I start mopping it up. And do you realize I should have just let the damn paint dry and chipped it off?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I should have done. But I went and got a mop instead, and I was mopping it up, which basically just slides paint all over the floor.
And you smeared it all
and
over.
And it's slopping. And yes, everywhere.
Oh, God.
So I'm like, well, no one will know. I'm going to hurry up and go get, like, a towel in the house, and I'll just throw the towel away. It's my towel anyway. I don't care.
Right.
Nope, nope. One of the roommates walks in, and he's like, why does it smell like paint and fumes in here? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why.
I don't know.
I have no clue why it smells so weird. And he opens the door, and I'm like, no, slow motion as I try and slam the door closed, slide across the floor that's like painted water mess everywhere. And he's walking through, and he's like, what the hell did you do?
Yeah. You were not thinking straight.
No. No, but at least I didn't fall in the paint, which I almost did, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it's too late. And he's like, what the hell? I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to clean it up. Just get out of here. It's fine. So anyway, my long story
short
is...
Did you get a paint remover? Or?
I left it to dry in the crazy mess because I'm just going to go through and chip it today with a Brillo pad.
Right.
Like, you know, scrub it off.
Get a paint remover. I mean, it's going to get it off right away. Why not?
Because that's more fumes in the house, and I have animals. So, no. I'm just going to get a Brillo pad and hands and knees it. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
All right.
Anyway, so this, I just wanted to share my story.
Well, thank you. That's an amazing story.
Anytime. So you will appreciate when you come to my house for my party, the nice painted things and what really happened and the story behind them.
I look for them.
You should, because they're pretty.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have two very special guests in the studio, and we're going to get to them. We have Susan Schofield and Michael Schofield, and they do a show here called Bipolar Radio. Bipolar Nation Radio.
Bipolar Nation Radio.
Yeah.
You were here when I came up with the idea for that,
That's
the title
true.
Of the show.
Yeah. Get a little closer to the mic. Oh,
okay.
There you go.
So, yes.
And Michael, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Thanks
Thank
for
you
for making
having
it
me.
Through the traffic this morning. I know it wasn't much fun in the
no.
rain.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't know how to drive here in the rain. It's
no,
like
they don't.
Driving
no.
in the snow on the East Coast. It's like the same mentality, except it's water.
Yeah.
It's wet. Just get over it, people. It's just wet.
Yeah. I know. Yesterday, I got stuck on a one-lane street with this woman who was driving 20 miles an hour.
Oh,
I didn't know what to do. I was going crazy.
This is when you go around her.
Yeah. Well, I tried, but I said it was a one-lane thing.
This is when you find a way to go around her.
I know, like the middle lane.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Unless there's a truck there or something, then it could be a problem if you're driving.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first, tell us a little bit about your radio show. What is it that you guys talk about and everything?
We talk about mental illness and basically going through the government when you have a child who has a mental illness.
Mm.
And you're walking through, like, in fact, this is a good time to bring up Sunday's show, which is going to feature an L.A. mom, Natalie, who right now is being pressured by CPS to send her daughter to a residential facility.
Mm.
Now, the reason she's being pressured to send her daughter to a residential facility is because she can't get the right medication for her since she's on Medi-Cal, and doctors and psychiatrists won't take her to get her a mood stabilizer so she won't act out in school.
Right.
So, you know, and this is wrong of CPS to be doing this. They're very corrupted. It's Kids for Cash, and they get bonus money for taking kids out of the home. But anyway, we will be talking with her on Sunday morning.
Sounds good. And so we're going to get to the story about Jenny and everything.
Yes.
You guys have a schizophrenic daughter.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And she's been suffering for a long time since mm-hmm. she was very young, right?
Pretty much.
So she was diagnosed yeah. at six, but... You know, she was different from the beginning,
right?
You know, from birth.
And we'll go to the beginning in just a second. I just sort of wanted to introduce this. So, I mean, this you guys have really promoted this. I mean, you've been on television shows, on Oprah and Dr. Phil, and so forth. And you have a very unique story, you know. And I mean, the first thing I have to tell you, Brigitta, is I salute these people, you mm-hmm. know, because and I think everybody that hears the story, your heart just goes out to them, you know, because it's a different thing, you know. It's mm-hmm. a different thing altogether, and not many people go through that.
And they don't understand it. And we're trying to get people to understand mental illness.
Right.
That it exists in childhood, it exists in adulthood, and basically the people that get the treatment are the people that are okay. They can function better.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that don't get the treatment or don't have the access to the treatment, they're the ones that you find in our prisons.
Mm.
And that it's a biological illness, that it's like cancer, it's like diabetes. It's a chronic, long-term illness, and it's not something that you can just snap out of or fix. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just in your head.
Right.
You know, it is an actual biological illness.
And with schizophrenia, the hallucinations control you,
right.
not the other way around. And that's where people get mixed up mm-hmm. with imagination versus hallucinations.
Right.
And that's very hard to explain to people who have not had experience with hallucinations.
Yeah. Now, so let's go a little bit back and find out how you guys how it all started and everything. So, Susan, are you originally from L.A. here?
No, I'm originally from San Mateo, Northern California.
Oh, okay.
So.
And when did you move here?
In 93, or 90, no, no, 91. Yeah, 91.
So it's been about 20 years and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so you moved down to go to school?
Yes.
Oh, uh-huh. I see.
So I got speech communication degree.
Yeah. Nice.
It actually worked. I mean, I didn't even expect it to. I was like, you know, I thought maybe it'll help with something, but oh my God, I'm actually working in the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. And you, Michael, where are you originally from?
I'm from everywhere.
Yeah. Where were you born?
I was born in Sydney, Australia.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and... let's see, lived in Amsterdam as a kid, Boston, Dallas, back to Australia, Tulsa, Oklahoma, of all places.
Wow.
That was actually where I'd spent the longest until I got here to L.A. Graduated from high school in Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Uh-huh. Why did you move around a lot? Was it the
Army
family?
Bat?
Or?
Huh?
Army
no,
bat?
No. It was just, you know, it was my dad climbing the corporate ladder, and every time an opportunity, you know, for promotion came up, he took it, and, you know, we ended up moving, you know, halfway around the world.
That must have been hard for you, huh? Because it's hard to plant roots, I think, when you know you're going to be moving soon.
Well, it is kind of, it's weird for me. You know,
I'd have fun with it. I would just have friends everywhere and make sure I stay in contact with all the friends.
That's true.
So when
you
I go and visit, I got a free place to stay and a free tour guide.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, this was pre-Facebook, so I wasn't able to keep in touch with it.
Yeah.
And also, I don't even remember half their names now, so...
Didn't you do the pen pal thing? Because I still talk to my, like, pen pal from, like, France
when
I was little in Russia.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I wish I would.
I actually... talk to myself.
Sometimes it's the most intelligent conversation you'll have.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I spent, you know, I mean, yeah, I had friends, but I was also very comfortable being alone, playing by myself.
Playing with himself.
I was just going to say that, but I'm glad you beat me to the punch.
Yeah.
Well, he set it up, you know.
Exactly. But I'm bummed.
Yeah. So when did you end up in L.A.?
I came to L.A. in 95.
Mm-hmm.
I came to L.A. actually...
What brought you here?
I got it into my head that I wanted to be a screenwriter.
Oh, okay.
This was right around Pulp Fiction, you know, and the whole mythology.
Best movie ever. Mm-hmm.
The whole mythology of Quentin Tarantino, you know, he used to work in a video store, even though there's like
Blockbuster.
You know, a shitload of stuff in between working the video store and being, you know, Quentin Tarantino.
Although Michael did work, as the time I knew him, when he was 19, going on 20, and... Blockbuster Video.
Wow.
Vineland, right around here.
Yeah,
no way.
They don't even exist anymore.
I know they don't.
Yeah, they don't.
But yeah, that's what I ended up moving out to L.A. and I got a job as a board operator, mm-hmm. which is actually what Sam's doing right now when he is also on the
air. In a radio station.
Yeah, at KFI. Oh, wow. And that's how Susan and I met. Yep.
Oh, that's right. You were working at KFI.
Yes, at KFI. I was doing screening, producing, and board operating, too.
Wow. So did you always want to get into radio?
Yes, I
really?
Did.
Really? So that's why you went for communications.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, it's weird because I wanted to get good grades. So when I went to live in the dorms at Long Beach State, I purposely did not bring a television set. Mm. So what happened was I ended up listening to the radio all day long, and I loved the family kind of aspect of it.
Right.
Which I think is, it was like I felt like it was part of my family. And so I wanted to work there at KFI. Wow. And then I eventually interned there and got to do that, and it was great experience.
Oh,
and it brings me to my, you know,
corporate.
Yeah,
giant.
Yeah. It was different than it is today.
Yeah, that's true.
Very
yeah.
different. Mm-hmm. It was smaller. It was again, everybody knew each other. It was family. It was not. I think it was owned by the Cox sisters.
Right. Was it still?
There's a setup for
hey!
You.
Hey!
The Cox sisters.
Seriously?
Cox.
I know.
I'll let you go with that.
So, I mean, for those who don't know, KFI is one of the biggest stations here, an AM station, all talk. Mm-hmm. And so what year did you start there?
Like, I started in the 90s? 93, September 93rd, I believe, 1993.
Wow. Susan always remembers exactly.
I do remember
Susan
dates.
Actually remembers the exact date that we conceived Jannie.
Yes, November 19th.
I have no memory of that day.
Oh, my God.
Well, here's a story that has not been
and
told
I wasn't
publicly.
Intoxicated or anything.
No, no, no.
I haven't drank since I was a teenager.
Right.
But, or done it, you know,
yeah,
done
we can
any
talk
narcotics.
About this.
But,
this is
but
the perfect
yeah, I don't remember.
Well, here's what happened. We had gotten married, and I wanted to have a baby. I'm sure you can relate at some point. You're going to want to have a baby.
Right.
Bridgetta?
She's 6 years.
No? Never?
I don't have any kids.
And you don't ever want them.
No, I do eventually.
She does want them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you, now, are you a Sagittarius then?
How?
Well, you said your birthday.
You said your birthday's coming up.
I'm a Sag Cat.
Right. Like, are you December what? Because I'm the 23rd.
Christmas Day. But I'm way more Sag than I am Cat. I'm not even like Cap at all, I don't feel like.
Well, I can relate to you though. I'm December 23rd. That's right.
Oh, well, then okay, that makes sense.
Wow. And I'm so glad Mercury's out of retrograde. Just don't want to get that out.
It only affected me electronically, though.
I didn't even know about it. But
see? Awesome.
But I'm just glad because it was, yeah, I feel
actually,
better.
Actually, communication has kind of sucked lately.
Yeah, it has. It really has. but anyway, this is the story. We've never been able to tell this, so this is a new thing. What was it? You were going to go out with your friend, Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Who you don't even know anymore.
No, I don't.
That was that, like...
At the time, he was a college friend. And
right.
We had a mutual interest in film.
Right.
And he worked as a bartender at Casa Vega, which is up the road.
I
here.
Love Casa Vega.
Mm. Well,
for martinis.
So, I was going to go meet him. I wasn't going to drink or anything, but Susan, I guess, was worried.
I was not happy with that plan. And it was, I just wasn't. And so I started to, you know, just.
Be a chick?
Yeah, be a chick. Be a chick. And it worked. What do you know?
Well, I think what frustrates me the most is I don't remember it. You know? I mean,
well, I do. I do.
Well, it was a long time ago.
And then, not just that.
No, I didn't even remember it, you know, when she missed her period.
Yeah. Well,
this is TMI.
Okay, but what happened was then he was about to put on his condom. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, you know, don't worry, because we had been playing around for a year now, and I'd never gotten pregnant, and I was 31, and I said, you know what? I never get pregnant, so don't worry about
it. That's because we've been having sex in the hot tub, and I didn't know that hot water kills sperm.
Does it really?
Yes, it does.
This
it
is
does.
Good to know.
Yeah.
See? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
So anyway, I never...
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but you can't use it as a birth control.
Why not?
I'm
you just
sure
said
it's
it
not
killed
reliable.
It.
Yeah, I don't know if I would
don't
say definitely
chance.
Go with that method.
Okay, it's a backup.
So anyway... I had never gotten pregnant. So I told him that, and he understood that and was fine with it. And so he took off the condom, and I remember I felt a little bubble afterwards, and I thought, maybe. But then I thought,
was it good sex? Because I don't even remember.
I can't remember that. But I just
see that's
wow.
Well, you want the sex that creates a life to be...
Yeah.
I remember,
you know, mind blowing.
Memorable.
It's not. I don't remember it.
I don't remember it either. I mean, other than I remember the little.
Well, you've been together for a year. I mean,
yo,
come
2 years.
Two years.
Actually, at that point, we'd been together.
Because we were married.
We'd been together. Well, we'd known each other since 95. We'd been together since 97.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So that was what?
So you had been married
years.
For 4 years before that?
No, not married. No.
Going together for 2 years.
Right.
We got married in 2000.
Yeah.
I see.
And we
okay.
lived together a little while too. So.
Okay. So you got pregnant when?
November 19th. That's when I
2000?
I know I conceived. 2001.
2001.
And then I found out the day we were going to go to Australia. Day before to meet his grandmother to mm-hmm. bring her over to the United States. So mm-hmm. and it was like a big trip, and his dad, you know, wanted us to go, and
right.
it was, you know, very exciting. It's just I was throwing up
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
And I was scared because I started actually bleeding a little bit, and I remember going, oh no.
Yeah.
Were
you
okay.
happy? I mean, were you
oh,
happy
I was
being
thrilled.
Pregnant?
He
you
was,
wanted to,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was yeah. thrilled. Michael?
Yeah.
Scared shitless.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was 25. my ship hadn't come in yet, or, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's still young, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I hadn't finished college. Mm-hmm. You know, I was on the 10-year plan for my BA at the time. my father kind of drilled it into my head that I couldn't have kids until I had $1 million in the bank. To which, to this day,
you'd
actually...
You'd still be waiting! I would still be waiting!
I'm still a million short on that. I was terrified. But actually, it wasn't just the money. Even then... You know, knowing what I knew about my family history, and I didn't know much, but, you know, I knew that, you know, I'd grown up with a very odd mother, and looking back now, I
still never have met her.
I'm pretty
really?
Sure.
And I'm fascinated, too. She's wow. in Oklahoma somewhere.
I haven't seen her since I was 15 yeah. years old.
Wow.
So that's, you know, more than 20 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So you said she was odd. Was she mentally ill, or...
I think, looking back, I think she was... paranoid schizophrenia.
Really?
Because it runs in the family, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is it skip generations, or is it...
They don't really know. Wow. I mean, they...
Just sorry. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was my elbow making contact with the table.
The predominant theory is that there is some sort of genetic component to it, but it's not like they've found, you know, a gene mm-hmm. or a sequence that causes... But, like, you know, my mother would... My mother started to believe that my father was a mafia hitman, and my dad was an electrical engineer.
I'm gonna zap you with this electronics.
and that he had $1 million in a Singapore bank account, which if you have like illegal money, that's like the worst place in the world to put it.
Yeah.
Why would she put it in Singapore?
And she, you know,
unless
she
you're horse racing.
You know, she started to believe that we were overeating, even though I was like 13 and I looked like I was 8.
Yeah, there's pictures of him. He looks like a blonde-haired Ethiopian boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was
wow.
yeah, it's pretty incredible
and,
to look at. You think he's like 8 years old?
And
he's
13. And
it's
she,
weird.
You know, she yeah. was the one that initiated the divorce against my father, mm. and then after. You know, after he was gone, she, you know, we had a, you know, one of those double door refrigerators, and she took a drill and drilled a hole through the handle and then slipped a padlock through it.
Whoa.
So she actually like locked and would just open it up like once a day.
Uh-huh.
And so I was hungry all the time.
Wow.
And I wasn't going to school. You know, I was being homeschooled, so I had really no contact with the outside world.
Oh my God.
But it didn't occur to me that, I mean, yeah, okay, I knew that this was odd, but it's like it never occurred to me to like call the police or anything like
right,
that.
Right, because it's normal to you. It's always been like that.
That's
yeah,
true.
I mean,
yeah.
she was
Did
my...
you have friends that would come over or not really? Because
no.
you're more,
no,
yeah.
No, because, you know, again, I was kind of, you know, I was the mm-hmm. traditional, yeah. you know, loner
right.
who will then grow up to do yeah. horrible things.
What sign are you?
I'm a Capricorn.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
January 14th.
Yeah, and I'm the 23rd. Yep, Capricorn City.
So, yeah, and then there was there was an incident where she came after me with a knife, actually, because she thought I... And I remember I wanted her to actually open the fridge because it was dinner time.
Yeah.
And she was upstairs. She had this punching bag, and she'd like stab it with a butcher knife.
Okay, yeah, that's a big sign.
as a replacement for her father, who who she believed had raped her from the time she was 4 to the time she was 14. And that's entirely possible because my maternal grandfather was an asshole. Oh. I mean, he's just a complete prick. Nothing like my maternal grandfather.
That will screw her up, huh?
I mean,
screw anybody.
I opened the door and, you know, she's stabbing the punching bag, and she looks up, and right away I can tell
something wasn't in her eyes.
Well, I
could
tell that when she looked at me that she wasn't
her?
Seeing me,
mm-hmm.
that she was clearly seeing her father, and she screams and comes after me with the knife, and, you know, I run. You know, I just run out of the house and basically right. down the street and just wait
mm-hmm.
Until she calms down. But I actually, you know, years later, I would see that same, you know, even though Jenny thankfully has no interest in knives and has never, you know, come after anybody with a knife or anything like that. I remember when Jenny's violence began at 5.
Now, Jenny's your daughter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Short for January.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
I remember that same look in her eyes where I would look and it's, she's not seeing me. Mm. She's looking at mm-hmm. something yeah. beyond me. She's not seeing me. So I've definitely seen the same look in Jenny's eyes during, in the period before she was medicated.
Right.
That I saw in my mother's eyes.
Wow. And your mother was the only person in your life, right? I mean, at that point.
Did
you have brothers or sisters?
No, I'm an only child.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
yeah, wow. Oh, my goodness.
What a childhood, man. So, okay, well, let's get to Jenny. I guess you got pregnant. You had her.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of a baby was she? I mean, was she normal in a way?
That's the thing. She
physically, she
yeah,
was.
Physically, she was.
And she had huge, bright blue eyes that just stared at everybody.
Wow.
And people would say, oh, what an old soul. You know, and I mean, she was 2 months old.
Remember that Asian woman that got, like, freaked out and ran away?
Yes, this lady named March.
Really?
Interestingly enough, in the Burbank Mall, and I remember Jenny was 6 months old, and she looked at her, and she's like, get her away from me, get her away from me, and I'm like, what is it you see, you know, and I was getting, it was very scary, and she's just like, just get, you know, and I was like,
wow,
that scared me.
I'm sure.
We still get emails I get emails through.
A lot of it is the eyes, because she did, especially as a baby, she had these unique eyes. People would notice her. I mean, she just had these eyes
right.
that were very not only intelligent. I mean, that's where we went. We were like, she's just brilliant.
Right.
She's just absolutely.
And she was. I mean,
you could talk with her as a baby. I'd say, do your little shuffle, and she'd do her little shuffle.
Wow.
On cue. Uh-huh. I mean,
by 12 months, she knew her alphabet.
Yeah.
You know, by 18 months,
any way you want to put it.
She was speaking in grammatically correct sentences.
So
she'd say, my name is Jenny Page and I'm 19 months old. It was
yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
so you had no reasons to worry or anything.
Right.
Well,
I mean, it was a
you
great
know,
childhood.
She didn't sleep. We had to constantly stimulate
right.
her. I mean, take her, you know, from the moment, you know, she woke up until you had to wear out her mind. It wasn't
right.
enough to wear out her body.
What is her IQ?
It was 146.
See, this is what I'm because this is what I'm saying. A lot of people who have mental issues,
right.
whether it be bipolar kids or ADD or whatever, is
right.
because and my IQ is pretty high too.
I figured.
And I was horrible when I was younger. I've learned attainment. Thank you, yoga. But it's because I was bored. I was bored with everyone and everything, and I needed to be constantly stimulated all of the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole thing is just they're extra super smart, and they need things, and as soon as they don't have, they're not learning more and more,
right.
then they freak out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly
and
what happened. So we met those needs.
Yeah, for 5 years, we were able
we
to
met
keep...
Her.
Yeah.
That's
I
why
mean,
she wasn't on a medication.
Basically, we'd do shifts, you know, whenever... It was either...
Yeah.
Susan was working and I was out with Jenny or
vice versa.
Vice versa.
And during that time, I mean, did you feel it was difficult for you?
Oh yeah,
all the
it was
time?
Still difficult
really?
Because I mean, we had a lot of friends for her, the moms groups. So they all knew her and that was great. Mm. The only thing is she started to move away from them even though mm-hmm. they were there. And that was hard because we kept trying to push her in. I mean, she knows these kids from babyhood, mm-hmm. but right. she was still drifting apart from them.
Oh.
And I was really...
And then her imaginary, quote-unquote, right. friends were well, always yeah, around.
Those,
and she's like, I don't want to play with my friends.
Right,
I want to play with my imaginary friends.
Right.
But see, I used to have imaginary friends.
Did
yeah.
you?
Yes.
So what age was that? I mean, at what age did you start...
Three.
She the imaginary friends. Sorry, and again, we just thought
they were imaginary friends.
We but thought see, because she couldn't find her intellectual equals,
mm-hmm.
and I was really arrogant. I mean, you know.
Well, and so was I too.
When
I
other parents were suggesting that she might have autism or
Asperger's,
that something
yeah,
might be
that.
Wrong, mm-hmm. I was thinking in my head, no, your kid's just a moron.
Yeah.
my kid's just smarter than yours. And of course, I paid for that later, but. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of denial. I mean,
right.
I don't think it's in anybody's nature to go looking for something wrong in your child. But also, I remember when I was growing up, my mother was always looking for something wrong with me. So I think I was really mm-hmm. like the opposite of that. I didn't
right,
want to think that, you know, mm-hmm. that, no, she's, you know, Jenny is just this incredible genius.
Yeah.
And once she finds...
Her
intellectual equals her niche. Mm-hmm. She'll be fine.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's the natural thing to do is to rationalize mm-hmm. it, and you know, and rather than to look for something
is,
like there's a problem.
We went. We did everything. I mean, we even did homeschooling at first. You mm-hmm. know, which we found a great homeschooling network.
But
and
she didn't connect
it's like
with us.
It still nothing worked. I mean, then she wanted them to call her 400 the cat.
We
and
tried
Mensa. We tried
Mensa. Which is really disappointing, by the way, because Mensa is just a bunch of people sitting around playing Scrabble.
Really?
I mean, I expected Mensa to, you know, it would be like, you know, it was like this convention at the airport. And I expected, you know, that there would be, like, different rooms, like, you know, one group of kids working on nuclear reactors, you know, another group of kids, you know, working on warp drive engines. Yeah, and it's like competitive Scrabble.
Right.
And that, and they sit around and eat chips and get fat. and I was like bitterly disappointed by
Mensa. We didn't
because
know
that was
like
my last hope to find other kids like Jenny.
Brigetta, what did you do ultimately? I mean, what was kind of your path just a little bit?
Well, what...
I'd love to have you on my show, actually.
Sure. And I brought this up yesterday, which most people are going to call me crazy. I'm not sure if you're into the whole... I had imaginary friends. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they were imaginary. To this day, I still swear that. And honestly, mm-hmm. I know that they were spirits, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's totally fine. Now, do they ever tell you to do bad things?
Yes.
They do?
One of them did.
Okay.
Did I listen? No. I would be like, that's not nice, you know? And it was a guy that was in my room for about 13 years. Same guy. And followed from house to house. It wasn't like it was just in a certain house.
Okay.
He followed there for a long time. He was technically good most of the time. I went to a lot of weird places. You'll think I'm some crazy.
You're talking to the right people here, okay?
But he would tell me things before they would happen. And I would sometimes tell my parents.
Right.
And then they would happen. Like our house caught on fire and some things like that.
Uh-huh.
And he would try and get me to do it. But I wouldn't do them.
Right.
I would be like, no, that's bad.
So it was like he telling you to burn the house down or something?
No, that happened.
Okay,
that's
what I did.
No, it wasn't like that.
Not the house, no. I had a problem with fire, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
I like fire, too, but I... No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But no, it was just... You would tell me things before they happen, and so I would know things before they would happen.
I do, too. I have that same experience.
Yeah.
Not quite to the level that you do.
But, you know...
But that's interesting.
So I used to play with... You know, these, one of them, this is going to sound crazy, even more
you
crazy.
You don't listen, you're in the right place. Don't
have
to worry.
Yeah,
well,
we
one of them was.
You don't have to keep prefacing
so,
it.
One of them was very sweet, and it was like, had tons of animals around them. I think it was St. Francis, in my opinion. I love animals.
Okay.
And I used to have all these, like, animals, and I would play, and I'd be in my own world, and my parents would be like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing. Leave me alone.
Uh-huh.
And they would just think, well, don't you want to go play with? No, I don't. I have my friends right here.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just be like, what are you doing? And I remember when I was younger, they took me to a psychologist. psychologist because they thought I was crazy, that I was playing with these imaginary things and things were happening that I would tell them that shouldn't be happening. And, you know, they were like, oh, what's wrong with her? And they just couldn't figure it out. So just go to a psychologist and they would be like, who is the guy in your room? And I'm like, his name is whatever. And I don't remember what his name was. And he, you know, he does this and he looks like this. And I just, you know, and I he's a ghost. It was a, I know now that
that's
it was a
spirit.
That's
what I always said. I said,
so
I think
my question is, for people that have schizophrenia, I'm just wondering, and I threw this out yesterday, could it be because they hallucinate or whatever people think, if they're not in their brain, are you seeing two different worlds?
I think so.
Are you seeing different planes?
Yeah.
Are you some kind of person that is so gifted that when that Asian lady saw her, she was gifted, she could read into her eyes, this child is brilliant, is from another plane, planet, whatever, and can actually skip through different planes or levels.
I believe this.
And that's what I'm saying.
I actually believe you're right. The only problem and the reason that she's on medication is to prevent her from listening to those friends that are bad. Because some of them are good and some of them are bad. But that is the only thing. Otherwise, I'm on your page there. I agree.
For me,
she's smarter than me. I believe what she says is real.
For me,
I just don't
it comes
it.
Down to... And it's kind of complicated, but basically it comes down to functionality.
Mm-hmm.
See, you had these experiences which might fall under certain diagnostic criteria, but you were functional. It's
you were able to
you
go
weren't
to school.
Attacking people. You were
right.
able to get through life.
So you were never attacking people then.
So
I just stopped telling people that they were there. After I realized when I was at the psychologist this wasn't normal, no one else saw other things too, I realized I'm just going to shut up about it then and I'm not going to tell anyone.
Which actually a lot of
psychologists still do.
Jenny's kind of
so
selective about
her life. Though that's the thing too. Were yours always there constantly or were they there just at certain times?
The guy was there a lot, although he would come and go.
Okay.
He would come and go.
Yeah.
At nighttime.
That's when I had most of mine. Was it
night? Okay. If my mother or father were in the room, he would leave.
Huh. Interesting.
I mean, in terms of whether they're real, to the person who experiences them,
he was totally real.
They're totally real.
Yeah.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
I mean,
no, I know. And
you
I
know,
describe
it's like,
it as real can be.
Like,
but
I actually interact with Jenny's hallucinations. Mm-hmm. So does Susan. You know, like whether it's, you know, it's a girl 24 hours. You know, 24 hours is over. Okay, hey, 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
yeah.
It's and people will criticize us for that and say, you know, why are you interacting? You should be teaching her. They're not real.
No,
and
I don't believe that.
Respond to them is my answer is, well, that would be like me telling you I'm not real.
Right.
Because
to her, they're real.
They are, you know, as real as this table.
I mean, she gets upset and she would do this if, you know, she puts out her hand, you know, and then somebody gives her a high five and you're like, she's like, you just
smashed them.
My rat. Yeah. Or whatever. I mean, that's the thing.
Right.
Right.
So when did the friends start appearing? When she was able to speak?
Yeah.
Or,
No, it's a little bit later at 3.
Okay.
Two and a half, 3.
Wow. So at that point, she started having friends, and she gave them names and everything. Mm-hmm. And,
it was really, you know, we didn't accept that there was something actually wrong until the violence began.
Right. Because we were not going to even do anything.
Because she wasn't really affecting anyone, right?
Right. I looked at it she was a genius, and we're going to do whatever we have to do to get her through life.
Yeah, she was eccentric until she became violent.
That's when
and
we had
it wasn't
to do something.
Like a tantrum violence. It was, you know, one second she'd be sweet and loving, and then it was like a switch was flipped, and And I remember it was very easy for me to not take it personally as she's like trying to scratch my eyes out or something because I could clearly see it wasn't her. It's like there was this blankness in the eyes, which...
Well, like a glaze could come on.
Well, and it's what they call the flat affect, actually, in schizophrenia. I didn't know that at the time, but...
Yeah, we've learned a lot. I know.
But it was very clearly not her.
Psychology major, so I know a lot about it.
And then,
if I could have gotten through the statistics, I would have done that.
And then, And then, you know, it'd just be these, you know, minutes of intense violence.
Wow.
And then
she would attack other kids and then snap back out and not know
what happened.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing.
And then she'd be saying, wow, you know, do we have any mac and cheese? You know, like, and there was no sulking, no awareness that it even happened or wow, that, you know, daddy's like bleeding now from the face. But it's even then, you know, denial is so pervasive. You know, it's like I was still thinking even then that this was some sort of like early, like this was some sort of teenage rebellion in a 5-year-old.
Well, because we were told she's mentally, from the psychologist who tested her at 146, as she said, you have a daughter who's at 4 years old between the ages of 10 and 11 mentally. Mm-hmm. Wow. So we were thinking, okay, now she's 5. Maybe now she's,
yeah, right,
you know, 13. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, you know, that's where we were going.
Right. So the violence started creating problems because obviously
it started getting harder because when I got pregnant with Bodhi, and this is the thing, we wanted to have another child. At least, I mean, I did, and Janie did. She kept saying, I want a sister, especially.
Right.
We found out it was a boy coming, and she's like, can't you try again?
We're
like,
oh, God.
No, we can't.
And for me, and you want to talk about things that sound crazy.
Yeah.
I agreed to have a second child because my thought process was...
Maybe it would help her?
If you can't find another child like Jenny,
because I was searching desperately to find another child who got her imagination.
And Susan would keep telling me, you know, oh, I found these, you know, really intelligent kids, and Jenny's gonna love them, and we'd go over there, and they just it would be like two people speaking different languages. And Jenny would then just wander off and play with her, you know, imaginary friends.
Right.
And so it was. I was bothered by her loneliness. And so I thought, if I can't find another child like her, well, you know, I created her, maybe I could create another one.
Right.
I mean, that
we actually asked the doctor, because we, at this time, again, we're in the mode of she's a genius, she's brilliant. So we actually asked the doctor before we were going to conceive. I don't think you remember this, but I do. Mm. Of course, I remember these. It was March 30th. There's the, to see if I was fertile. And the doctor said yes, because I was 37. And I was thinking, okay, I don't know how easy it's going to be for me to conceive now.
Right.
But she said, yeah, you're fertile. I'm like, do you think it's possible we could have another baby just like her? She's like, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, she goes,
we were willing to go
and then
through
April
the whole
1st, checked out the ovulation calendar and April 1st, and then we did it, and boom.
We actually, like, you know, kind of asked. We did ask God.
We did ask God.
We
wanted somebody
to get
her imagination. To
go, we wanted somebody who got her. And so we were willing to go through the whole
not
lack of sleep and the whole nightmare of her infancy again if it would give Jenny somebody that she could connect to.
Right.
And in the long run, it has. It's just
Actually, they do get along great. Thank God. Yes.
But in the short run, you know, right after he was born, Bodhi was born, you know, he was a trigger for Jenny. Mm-hmm. So
as soon as he cried, she went. You know, she screamed.
She screamed, stopped crying, even though she wasn't looking at him. It was very strange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was probably like she was too sensitive to that, you know, and it's probably like...
She would even scream about his crying even when he wasn't crying. So I actually, in retrospect, I think it was in her head.
Yeah,
What she was hearing was in her head.
So in the last few minutes, I just want to ask you guys, what is your life like? I mean, you know, the thing is, she's grown up. She hasn't improved, right?
Well, she has.
She has?
She has. She's come a long way.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't dealt with the violence in
a long time.
She's on a pretty heavy-duty cocktail of medication. Mm-hmm. That would put any of us into a coma.
Wow.
Lozaril, which is...
an antipsychotic.
350 milligrams.
Thorazine, which is an antipsychotic, mm-hmm. and lithium, which is a mood stabilizer, mm-hmm. which in children, for reasons they don't understand, also reduces psychotic symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was not able to go to school. Now she is. I don't know where you were.
Oh, really?
To go to
she
school?
Couldn't go to school.
Oh, yeah. I'm fine. I was fine.
That's
it's just,
the thing.
I saw spirits.
Right, yeah.
She couldn't.
Right.
I just shut up about it. And I was like, you know, 5 years old. I was very quiet when I was younger, though. I was very, very shy.
She's not shy or
extremely
quiet.
Extremely shy.
Right.
I didn't talk to anyone. Everyone freaked me out.
Well, you're Capricorn.
Then,
I know, Sad.
Yeah. And then I got into acting and I was fine. Then I don't shut up. Like, God, like, my parents are like, Jesus, damn it. Why did we send her to acting?
Yeah, but again,
you know, I mean, I'm
right.
completely fine. It's just
you're
that
functional.
They thought I was crazy because I was seeing spirits, and I'm telling you, it's right there. Look at them.
Right.
And then I realized no one else sees things. This is wrong.
Right.
So I'm just gonna tell you that I don't see them anymore, and I'll shut up and stop talking about it and be smarter than you.
Right. I mean, look, here's the thing.
No, I know.
We're all in some way or another mentally ill.
Well, I don't call that necessarily mentally ill. I know now that I'm technically a medium, and that's a gift that I would
see,
have.
That's better than
and
me.
That's fine.
I'm just chronically depressed and bipolar.
I think it's all connected.
I have to take pills so I don't kill people, basically.
But see, I don't think you'd have to if. See, I'm also in a holistic.
No, I would. Trust me, I would.
I'd say let me work on you, and I say no.
Well,
I don't mean it like that.
No.
I don't mean it like that.
But for
dirty mind, God, you have.
Oh, well, hey.
That's because she learned from me.
I did. I learned everything.
But it comes down to functionality.
Right.
And,
what it comes down to.
And
I would love to meet her
of whether you need.
I would love to meet her.
I would love for you to meet her.
In terms of whether you need medication, it comes down to functionality.
Yeah.
And Jenny, you know, with the violence, was the big thing.
And she couldn't control it.
She
and
could
she would
not
say,
control it.
I'm going to end up going to jail because I can't control this.
Mm.
And that's when I'm like...
And she was very aware of the fact
that
she couldn't
control it.
That was at
6 years old. Yeah, right. She could not control it. She would be telling me, go and talk to the daycare lady because she was at school for 3 hours and would go over to Sunshine Daycare. And she said, go over and talk to her because I just choked her. And I'm like... she would be telling like her on her cell phone like you
so
know.
She's on these very powerful medications, but you would actually not know it to meet her.
No,
she still runs around, she's really chatty, she's very high energy,
she's not shy at
but
all. That's another thing.
She's
a Leo with a Leo moon, 4 planets in Leo. Gemini rising.
It keeps her.
What can I say?
Okay. I guess that explains.
Well, she knows, right?
I totally know.
That's Leo. Oh,
The medication takes away the violence. Right. So, and,
yes, it does.
And it does not take away the violence by zombifying her because she's far from a zombie.
Yeah.
But yeah, we haven't had to deal. We haven't had the violence in years now. That's why.
See, I say work with a little bit of energy healing and see what happens.
Yeah, whatever you get to lose.
You are welcome to come and live with us.
Yeah.
And you are anytime. Seriously, you can come and see her, meet her. You have an open invite. We do this with everybody, actually.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You do, Sam.
And yeah.
Well, Sam, you've met her.
But
I actually am very intrigued.
You
I would like to.
Absolutely.
Actually,
I would never tell somebody
you've
not.
You've never met her? Well, you're.
No.
Well, you know what? See, I would bring her to a party here.
Yeah.
The only problem is.
She'd destroy the place.
She's already done that on occasion. So.
I'll come one time when you have...
But see, this is when you get their mind stimulated.
Right.
Because, I mean, see, me as a child, I was always, you know, entertain me. And if you, like, babysitters hated me because I would destroy the house and I would create a game on you if you wouldn't play with me.
Yeah.
So this is why I'm very good with kids because it's like
I
a constant
know.
Game. It would be like, this water is magic water and we have to drink it all because whatever.
No,
I would make up the game.
Great with
you
Jenny.
Would do
I
great just, with her.
I would never advocate though for people who are on medication to go off of it.
Not
because it's
tricky.
Like telling somebody who is undergoing chemotherapy for cancer to stop it or to,
I would.
Well, now Sam was
But you have to be you know, familiar with, you know, with psychiatry and everything to understand that, you know, some people have to take the medication for life.
And I get that, but I have also worked with someone who is had cancer, has cured herself from cancer naturally.
That's
was a pharmacist.
One person.
No, actually, she
evidence.
Works with Hopkins, uh-huh. and she cured me with Lyme. She cures a lot wow. of cancer patients uh-huh. homeopathically, naturally. She was a pharmacist for years, like I was saying. She
okay.
understands both sides.
Okay.
So she can read
it's
you
worth it.
And work
it's
with you,
time.
And she's cured many cancer patients
east,
with Hopkins.
East,
so you can
east,
believe
west.
To your old ways, and
east,
that's fine.
No. East meets west. I'm
in the middle.
I
meet in the middle.
Both. I think it's both is needed. That's
I think,
for me. And
yeah.
But again, you know what? I would love to see her off of it. But I'm afraid because
right.
I know what we've gone
No, I'm not
through.
Saying go completely head off of it.
She has
I'm not
a
saying
life
that.
Now.
Oh,
she,
no.
Right.
I know. You
she's back in school. That's, she wasn't able to go to school for 3 years. She
yeah.
was in the hospital more often
than she,
right. than she was
yeah.
out of it. She's
Yeah, and you guys had to live in two separate apartments
yes.
as well.
For 2.5 years.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. you wanted to protect the
right,
boy.
Right, because, yes, because it's
And lower Jenny's stress.
Yes.
And it worked.
Yes, because we had CPS, which rightly so in that case, they were afraid for, you know, him. So it's sort of like
right.
a Sophie's choice. You can, and of course, they're always happy to send him to residential. And
which
that we'll talk about
we
again on Bipolar Nation Sunday.
Yeah. We yeah. do have to wrap up, guys.
I know. I'm sorry.
So let's just promote. The website is jennysjourney.org.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael
and
wrote a book, January 1st.
Yep.
Which January, I think, is a beautiful name. How did you
Thank
get the
you.
Name?
Well, yes.
I guess January, and she's first in your heart, so, right?
Yeah,
something
well,
like that. It's
it,
not because she was born January 1st,
No,
right?
no, she's her actual birthday, it's August 8th. No,
well,
it was,
Leo
it,
is August.
Yeah. I wasn't paying attention.
I put Jenny above everything, even myself. Too. I mean,
yeah.
If you read the book... you really see as she declines, so do I. I mean, I was willing to follow her
yeah,
into,
she goes, wow.
you know, and I thought she was just going to fade away into her world, and I was
yeah.
I was going to go with her.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, everybody, go out and get January 1st. You can get it everywhere. And Michael Schofield is the author. Michael, thank you. Susan, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Fascinating.
Thank you.
There's so much more to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, anytime.
You know,
we'll come
so.
On again, and I want you to come over.
Done. I would love to, actually.
Yeah.
I'll come
everybody
for a play date.
Yes.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Bipolar.
We have people do that.
Okay.
Yay.
Bipolar National. Bipolar Nation. I can't say it.
Bipolar
Nation Radio.
Sundays.
At 11 o'clock in the morning, and listen to that. It's fascinating, talking about the mental health system
mm-hmm.
and so forth.
Yeah.
So, okay, Bridgetta, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Hi.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.